You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
We're back again in the MSP Zone to talk about risk, risk mitigation, and how to protect yourself in your MSP practice against a variety of very commonly employed practices in our sector, and how to do that safely, and how to do it in such a way that it will protect you and your customers in a very elegant, hopefully easy to understand fashion. And to make it easy to understand, we are pleased to have back to the program Rob Scott from Scott & Scott LLP. Rob, welcome back.
Good to be back, Charlie. Thank you.
So we've had this kind of ongoing discussion about risk in general. And when we talk about risk, we don't meet it in a negative way. It's just the natural risk that arises out of any business, you know, relationship. But MSPs sit in a very unique position in the world today, given how much of an emphasis is placed on MSPs right now in our history to enable businesses of all sorts to get back into work, to facilitate work from home scenarios, which is obviously impacting everyone across the world. And so I'd like to take the conversation to the next level and to talk about two kind of distinct scenarios and how both of those scenarios impact contracts and how the MSPs should or ought to be able to take those contracts and make them work for the betterment of the relationship, close deals, but also protect the MSP and their customers. The first scenario is co-managed services. So a very common concept where the MSP is working with internal IT who, you know, brings their own tools, their own people, their own process, and then also the use of third-party vendors and how should the MSPs be articulating those relationships and that work process with their customers. So why don't we start with co-managed first, because that's kind of a fairly common example. In your experience, when you come across your clients, how should an MSP deal with the issue of co-managed, meaning the MSP is not the only person with their fingers in the IT management pie?
Well, look, first and foremost, if you can develop services that give you administrative autonomy with respect to the environments, those are lower risk than environments where you don't have exclusive admin rights, or at least co-admin rights to the environment. The problem from a legal perspective arises when something goes wrong in a co-managed environment and a claim could arise with respect to whether or not the MSP either breached its contract or engaged in conduct below the standard of care. You know, that would be the standard of reasonable care under tort or negligence law. And so the question in the co-managed situation is who's responsible for what, and how do we allocate liability for an incident where it may be unclear who was at fault in the situation. For example, if there's a security incident that goes wrong and you're in a co-managed situation, maybe it's the vendor's responsibility to initiate the alert, but then maybe the customer's responsibility is to take the next step. Maybe the customer doesn't take the next step in an appropriate amount of time, and therefore the vendor thinks that there's nothing to be concerned about, and instead we wake up in the next day and we have a major security incident to deal with. And the question in that scenario is who's legally responsible for the harm that arises by virtue of that security incident, and how do we allocate responsibility for the liability? Is there any fault to be shared by the MSP? And if so, how would that be measured? And what do the contracts say about this and other potential claim scenarios involving security or other losses attributable to failures of IT in a co-managed situation? And in our contracts, we make it clear for our clients that the client is responsible for, you know, providing the services in a good and professional and workmanlike manner. But that if harm arises by virtue of things that the MSP's customer does, that any injuries as a result of that to those customers would be expressly excluded from the legal responsibility of the MSP. And further, our contracts will require the MSP's customer to report on all activity related to the service, to, you know, any access or co-managed administrative functions that they provide, change management and other reporting, so that the MSP knows what's happening, what's being done, and any failure to do that would be a breach of the contract as well, the way we write them for our clients, to address the concern about legal liability arising in a situation where it would be unclear who's at fault with respect to a particular incident in a co-managed situation.
So you're what I'm hearing is regardless of whether or not an MSP is solely or I understand, I think there's some discussions we may want to have in future episodes about whether MSPs can be truly separated from their, solely responsible for their clients, because the customers are all, you know, individual corporations, presumably, that have their own governance. But your policy is your contracts, the Scott & Scott contracts, are going to be, regardless of whether it's a co-managed service or the MSP is predominantly directing IT management, the contract is going to lay that out anyway, right? If you, the customer, do something that impacts a data breach, that's going to be articulated in a standard contract that you put out, correct?
Yes, and that the MSP's customer is going to be responsible for the harm that results from claims that arise by virtue of things that they did, which would be either breach of the contract or negligence. In other words, the MSP is not the insurance company. The MSP should be asked to stand behind its work and to compensate the customer for injuries that result from its negligent act or omission or a breach of contract that causes injury. But nothing more.
But nothing more.
But nothing more. You shouldn't, for example, have to pay a customer damages for a ransomware attack that was caused by RMM tool.
Well, so that brings us to the next category, right? So it sounds like the best practice that, and it's a reasonable one, and one that I kind of suspected, but I'm glad you confirmed that any MSP, regardless of how you approach your division or allocation of responsibility, your contract should very clearly state that that apportionment of risk and the apportionment of who's going to pay, you know, for remediation, for damages as a result of that activity, that bad thing. But you just brought up another thing, which I just got a major MSP platform RMM company today just I suppose I could just say it, you know, it's public now. ConnectWise has just announced a bug bounty, you know, program, right, to increase and enhance their cybersecurity posture, which is, I think, very good for the industry. But it does underscore the fact that MSPs now are mainstream. The tools the MSPs bring and utilize to deliver managed services are also mainstream. And because they're all mainstream, it also means that they're also targets. So, Rob, could you talk a little bit about how does an MSP bring multiple vendors? And let's assume all of them are just really good, they're secure, their products perform the way they're designed to perform, but they can still be compromised. How does an MSP protect themselves and their customer from that risk?
Well, let's start with the MSP's responsibility to the customer. You know, before the MSP chooses a vendor or, you know, recommends a technology, they have a risk mitigation and due diligence obligation. It's not just, hey, I had a few beers with the dude from so-and-so and I signed up as a reseller. You know, there needs to be some vetting going into, you know, how you approach the partners. So that's, you know, one thing that the MSP has to do. Beyond that, you can't have any security systems or protocols where any particular third-party vendor could have a compromise that your tools or security solution wouldn't detect. And in the same way that I would recommend redundancy around data backup and disaster recovery, you know, I'm thinking of something analogous in the context of security. You know, you use an RMM tool, but what tool are you using to make sure that your RMM tool's not been compromised? You know, you're using a variety of different platforms and solutions. What is it that we're bringing to the table to make sure that those systems are safe and secure? And in the past, I think what we've done is we've trusted that the leading providers are going to be secure.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that they're not secure. I'm suggesting that even the most secure environments may have vulnerabilities and there could be breaches. And the MSP needs to understand legally where they stand in the mix between, for example, a third-party security operations center. There's an incident. You know, a lot of these security operations centers have contracts only with the MSP and not with the end user.
By design, most likely.
Yeah, so think about it. So I'm contracting with you, Mr. MSP, to provide you back office security operations center services. I have no contractual privity with your customer. But if there's a security incident that results from my negligence, the customer is going to expect the MSP to pay, unless that's otherwise articulated in the contract. And in our contracts, it's clear that services are offered through partnerships and with other solutions being bundled. And in those situations, the customer gets whatever rights that the provider has and nothing more.
So let's
look at it like, yeah. Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, because I understand the concept of the MSPs doing due diligence and being responsible largely for vendor management. And that's part of the MSP Verify, as you know, it's part of SOC 2. It's part of a large part of what GDPR stands for in terms of vendor management, bringing vendors that, you know, tools that you did not create, but nevertheless you bring to a customer who may be unknowing about the different vendors you're using to create the solution. Maybe walk us through that in terms of how does a customer view it and how does the MSP view it, and how is that, you know, articulate itself in the contract?
Well, the customer's perspective is, we're buying a solution from you. We don't know these other people. If your thing breaks, we want to hold you legally responsible. I mean, that's the procurement person's argument.
Pretty straightforward. Right. You're the MSP is responsible from the customer standpoint. I get that.
Yeah. Unless you respond with, wait a second. If I wasn't providing your infrastructure services through reselling Microsoft's cloud or Microsoft's SPLA, you'd have to have a relationship directly with Microsoft. And in that relationship, if there was a security incident that resulted from a failure of Microsoft's environment, you would have certain rights. And what I'm saying to you is, by virtue of me being your MSP, I'm not adding insurance to what you would otherwise get from Microsoft for infrastructure services. And the same argument could be true for any other thing that you're bringing. If the MSP didn't bring backup and disaster recovery through Datto or whoever they're reselling, the customer would have to engage in their own contract with a similar provider that, for example, offers cloud backup services. And in that situation, they would get a contract that's roughly similar to the contract that the MSP gets from similar providers. Why would the MSP, merely by virtue of reselling that backup solution or selling the infrastructure services to offer them in their own cloud or otherwise to host them, why would they take on more legal risk than what the customer would otherwise be in if the MSP didn't do all the work of aggregating all the agreements and the relationships and so forth? So I look at it like the MSP is not the insurance company. The MSP is bringing a combined solution together, not to take on the risk of failure of all of the components, but as a convenience to the customer. If the customer didn't want that service, they would have to go contract with all of these independent providers who would not, in fact, agree to indemnify them and hold them harmless and make them whole in the manner in which some customers expect MSPs to do.
So, all right. So not to get overly technical or legal, but this smacks of contributory negligence theory, right? Which is that if the MSP, and I think most of the listeners out there would get this, if the MSP brings Microsoft 365 to the table, the MSP is not doing anything that would add or subtract to the customer on the core Microsoft 365 services. I mean, what I'm saying is they may be administering the billing, they may be doing some back office management, but the customer and Microsoft fundamentally would be on the same grounds as if they didn't have the MSP. That's one of the outcomes of your statement. Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Okay. So, if we all understand that, then the next level is in understanding potential breach damages and risk is, did the MSP contribute to the negligence of whatever happened? Meaning, if it was completely Microsoft's fault, your position would be the contract would tell the customer, don't expect to hang on the MSP. They're not going to make you whole. The fault really is with Microsoft, unless the MSP was clearly dropped the ball and did something wrong, in which case their insurance or that contract would then make them culpable, them being the MSP.
Exactly.
Am I getting this right?
Yes, you got it right. We're not trying to say to the customer, we're not going to take care of things that are our fault, meaning the result of our negligent act or omission. In fact, the way we write our contracts, it's clear that the MSP will stand to indemnify and hold the customer harmless for any negligent act or omission that causes an injury, you know, of the type that would not be excluded in the limitations of liability. But my point is, we're not trying to make it to where the customer has no recourse. What we're saying is, we're not going to take on the legal responsibility for the aspects of the solution that aren't controlled by us. If it's our people, if it's our employees, then our insurance will cover it and we'll stand behind it. If it's not our people, then we're not legally responsible.
But as a MSP and as the beneficiary, as a customer potentially, nobody gets any of these fairly sophisticated, but I think fairly elegant concepts unless the contract spells that out and clearly says, you know, as a departure from what we had 15, 10 years ago, which were, you know, fairly blanket, would you agree, blanket kind of risk clauses in these contracts, basically saying we disclaim all liability or we disclaim nothing.
Very limited, right? You don't have to go into great detail about the types of claims that you'll respond to if you've got a limitation of liability that you think will hold up in court that limits your customer's recovery to some small amount of money that they paid you for fees. But as buyers become more sensitive to limitation of liability and that begins to grow, it requires a greater detail of specificity in terms of what types of scenarios the MSP will be responsible for and what types they won't be. And I agree that the contracts that we write now, you know, over the last 10 years, they have way more risk balancing and, you know, what if the fit hits the shan type provisions in them than we ever did before. And it's only being complicated, Charles, by the fact that, you know, outsourcing and partnering is the prevalent delivery model. You know, MSPs in many ways are providing a procurement function. They're providing a vendor management function. They're doing things and selling things in the package that they're not legally responsible for, where the different vendors comprising the package are assuming, you know, different levels of risk because everyone's contract is different. And the only safe way for the MSP, in my view, is to make it clear that it's legally responsible for the acts or omissions of its employees or any breach of the contract. And with respect to things like infrastructure, backup, disaster recovery, public cloud, telecom, anything that you're bringing to the table that isn't controlled by you, then you really need to disclaim that. It's crazy. I'll do cloud deals and the customer will want a certain availability, you know, typically expressed in number of nines after the decimal point of availability. We've all heard about five nines of availability.
Sure. Yeah.
And to ask the cloud provider, my client, to provide that type of availability guarantee or uptime guarantees where the solution will be hosted in a third party public cloud.
No, I get it. There's too many fingers in the pie. And they're wanting one person solely to take responsibility. I'd like your perspective, Rob, on the concept of vendor management, because as you well know, you know, GDPR and SOC 2 and MSP Verify, even, you know, we've been long proponents of responsible vendor management, vendor due diligence, the MSPs being responsible for performing the due diligence, which is different than being responsible for their actions. But how do you reconcile what we just talked about and the separation of a vendor being a vendor product working the way it was designed to work or not, and the MSP still needing to do its own due diligence on them? I just want to make sure the MSPs understand that we're not letting them off the hook for vendor management.
Look, no, and look, what I'm saying is this. If in a co-managed situation there's a security incident, your customer is going to want to hold you responsible. If you bring a solution to a customer that's third party and that third party solution causes a loss with the customer is going to want to hold you responsible. What I'm talking about is contractual provisions that will make it difficult for them to do so under circumstances where it's not your fault. I'm not suggesting in any way that, you know, there's a free pass in any of this, because it really only arises in the event of a dispute. And when you have that dispute, you already have a problem.
Right. So to be clear, we are not talking about a scenario where MSPs no longer have to do vendor management. That's not definitely what we're saying.
I think to the contrary. I think that, look, and I've been around in the community, in the industry a long time. You know, a lot of times it's a relationship thing. You know, this guy I know that I've worked with is, you know, selling this solution. And, you know, I like him and I know him and I trust him. And so I'm going to talk to a few of my peers and see what they think. And I'm going to sign up and start selling it. And, you know, back in the day, there's really nothing wrong with that. You know, that's how the shit works. But I think today you got to go beyond that. I think when you think about the regulatory requirements, and you mentioned some, you know, regulations, and I think they're all really about the same thing, which is, you know, before you go implementing any type of technology, either in your own environment or in a customer's environment, there's a risk assessment process that you have to follow. And it's got to be detailed and robust. And where I think you need to land is that anything that you're recommending or implementing is going to leave the data, the regulated data, at least as secure as it is today. I mean, the number one rule, don't do any harm.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense, and it'd be very difficult to defend a move, vendor or otherwise, that puts the customer data, the regulated data, in a greater harm than it was in before you started.
So let's wrap this up and have some action items for everyone listening. So number one, continue doing vendor management because you are quote unquote responsible for the vendors you bring to the party. I've always believed that, and even though there are some exceptions legally and contractually, you still are bringing, you're responsible for the vendors you bring to the managed services delivery relationship, number one. Number two, make sure your contracts are reviewed, and I would say reviewed fairly frequently, right? Because as the vendors change and come onto the scene, we get new vendors every year, right? More frequently than that, actually. And they're always changing. They're changing how they do things, how they handle data. The contracts need to be updated to have to reflect that unique, either co-managed or the vendor, the inclusion of third-party vendors, which all MSPs have, and how that impacts the risk to the MSP and to the customer. Did I leave anything out, Rob?
No, I think that those are the key areas.
So I got to know that. I mean, I know you work with a lot of MSPs out there, but certainly not, you know, 100% of them, but there something tells me that there's a lot of work that needs to be done contractually in getting MSPs onto a more standardized, not a template, but a more consistent type of articulation of their legal relationship with customers.
No question about it, and I think the more things change, as the world is changing, as in light of the pandemic and otherwise, the threat landscape is changing, the way IT services are being consumed, and there's a tremendous opportunity for managed services today. I think, and you may agree, Charlie, maybe more than ever since we've been doing this.
I've never seen this level of activity ever, and I thought that I think you as well. We've seen this this industry, and when we thought we hit a plateau, and every time we managed to reach a higher peak, and we're pretty high up, and the pandemic certainly caused this. But I think there's no better time for MSPs to go out, make a minimal investment in having their contracts reviewed, and just make sure. And look, I think the customers are going to appreciate it because it's a very simple concept when you read it, and it'll make them understand, hey, I'm dealing with an MSP that actually understands everything that's going on versus one that just sweeps it under the rug and
hey,
it,
look, yeah. I think from a customer's perspective, it's a breath of fresh air for an MSP or a cloud solution provider to come through the door and say, look, I will stand behind everything that I do. That means my employees' negligent acts or omissions. That means any breach of the contract. I'm going to stand behind that and make you whole. Versus what they get today, which is blanket exclusions.
Yeah.
Now, very limited, you know, very limited interest in many vendors in even taking responsibility for their own employees' negligent acts. So just the ability to walk through the door with that, which, by the way, we then cover with insurance, right? It puts you ahead of the game with relative to the market. So, you know, you might think that, you know, by doing these strategies, you're painting a picture that is adverse to the customer. But contrary to that, I think, you know, this approach is very customer friendly, but at the same time, it puts the risks where they belong. You know, everybody's responsible for the harm that they cause, and nobody's responsible for harm that they didn't cause.
Well, I like that. And if you're a practicing MSP out there, you should love that. And if you haven't done so recently, and I mean within like the last 12 months, dust off your contract, take a look at it. If you're unsure about it, give Rob a call. His firm, this is what they do, among other things, and they're experts at it. They've been helping MSP Alliance members for close to 20 years, and not exactly that long, but certainly over 15 years, I want to say. Rob, you've been working with our members. So, again, I appreciate you coming on and having a chat with us and sharing your wisdom on these important topics.
Always great to be with you, Charlie.
And until next time, this is Charles Weaver with the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.